Evening. I once heard a person who was wiser and more experienced than I say that if we live long enough, things are at one point or another going to go bad for us. Things are going to eventually get hard for us. And I think some of us know that that's true because we've experienced it. And how we respond in those moments when life gets hard and things don't go quite the way we want them to, I think, is kind of an indication of what's in our heart. It's kind of an overflow of what's inside of us when we respond to these situations in life. And I've only really known a few people who have really responded to terrible tragedy in their life and responded in a way that pointed to God and pointed to their confidence and their trust in God. We have some of those folks in our own family here. We know Brian and Amy Games and the tragedy that they went through with Brian's stroke and the way they responded in just incredible confidence in God. And God was able to work through that situation and is still working in that situation to bring himself glory and to bring people closer to him. They've displayed just an unending trust in God through it all. But then we read about people in Scripture, folks like the Apostle Paul. Paul was beaten, and when he was beaten, he would still proclaim the good news of God. He was thrown in prison, and so when he's in the prison locks, he sings praises and worship to God and converts the jailers. When Paul was shipwrecked, he would get to shore and proclaim the good news of God. There were times where he would be shipwrecked, get to shore, and then was bitten by a snake when he got to shore. And through it all, he would still proclaim the good news of God. You could literally do nothing to keep Paul down, whether it was prison or shipwrecked or torture. Paul would still proclaim God, and it's an amazing thing to see. And we read about people like King David, who was arguably one of the greatest worship song writers in all of history. He wrote over half, depending on how you attribute some of the unattributed psalms, but he wrote a ton of the psalms. And then he has other worship songs in the narrative throughout Scripture. He was just a man who was overflowing with God. And I want us to take a look very quickly at Psalm 145, just so we can kind of get a glimpse of David's heart. We talked this morning, if you're with us, a little bit about David from Psalm 40, and I promised that we would kind of get back to that a little bit tonight. But I want us to hear just David's heart in Psalm 145. In verse 1, he says, "I extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." And then in verse 8, he says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful. He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you." And then in verse 17, he says, "The Lord is righteous in all of his ways and kind in all of his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him, and he also hears their cry and he saves them." I want to be that kind of a person. I don't know about you, but I want to be the kind of person that is just overflowing with God's presence from my life. I want to be a person who is overflowing with praise the way that David is overflowing with praise. I want to be a kind of person that can be beaten and thrown in jail, and instead of lamenting my sorry state, can worship God and convert the people who have me in prison. I want to be that kind of a person. I want that kind of joy. And what I've realized as I've been studying this is that that kind of joy comes from being aware of God's work in our lives. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, I want you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Paul writes, "I want you to work I want you to work out your salvation, but you work that salvation out because of the work that God is doing in you. We often emphasize the first part of this verse, that we are supposed to put our salvation into practice, but I think the second part of that verse is just as significant, if not more so, that we're able to do it because God is working in our hearts and in our lives. I'm not talking about visions from the heavens, not talking about anything crazy like that, but through the subtle interactions that we have with one another and through our time in the Word and our time in worship and our time in prayer, God begins to work in our lives and work on our hearts, drawing us closer to Him. And I think that we experience the most joy in God when we are most aware of this continuing work that God does in us. We read Psalm 40 this morning. I want us to kind of take a second look at it, kind of from a different angle tonight. I want to see the way that God works, like we talked about this morning. In verse 1, David writes, "He inclined to me and he heard my cry." That incredible affirmation of Scripture that God hears us, and he hears us especially in our moments of pain and crisis. He has not left us alone, but he is involved with us and he hears us. Then in verse 2, it says that he drew me from the pit of destruction out of the miry bog. God rescues us when we have no hope of rescuing ourselves. God is able to work in situations in our lives when there would be nothing but despair and a mess if we were left to ourselves. God is able to rescue us out of those situations. And the clearest of those is that God is able to rescue us from our sin. He is able to rescue us from destruction that we have entered ourselves because of our own sin. He is able to save us and rescue us from that destruction. And then he writes, "He has set my feet upon a rock and he makes my steps secure." Not only does God pull us out of the pit, but he sets us on a solid rock and he allows us to walk forward so we don't have to keep staring at the pit anymore. We don't have to stay in the same place we were, but we can walk forward and we can walk with God in obedience and in sanctification and into deeper and deeper holiness. And then David writes that God put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. That all of this work that God does in our lives is so that we can praise God, so that we can bring God glory when we leave this building and when we gather at this building. So that's the work that God does. It's kind of the first part of, no, wait, I think there's one more. Yes. "You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us, and none can compare with you," says in verse 5. And then in verse 11, "As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me." God works in our lives by constantly giving us his love and his mercy. And he keeps us in it. And he multiplies it in our lives so that it is this growing experience that we have of God. So this is the work that God does. That David says, this is what God is doing in my life and what God does among his people. But then he also responds. He gives his response to this work that God is doing. And he says in verse 5, "Because of these things, I will proclaim and tell of them, of these wondrous deeds that God has done, and yet they are even more than can be told." It says in verse 8, "I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." That it is not just something I do because I have to, but I delight in it. That I long to do the will of God in my life because your law is within my heart. It says in verse 9, "I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord." It says in verse 10, "I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation." David says that I have told of this work that you are doing in my life. I have told of the rescue and deliverance you have worked in my life. I have told of your faithfulness, and I haven't kept those things to myself, but I have proclaimed it in the great congregation. And so I want us to spend just a few minutes kind of taking what we've talked about, kind of drawing some points of application from it, of how we can be aware and overflowing of this work of God in our life, so that when we are in those moments of tragedy, like David was in, and like Paul was in, and like people we know have been, instead of overflowing with grief or overflowing with just a lack of trust, that we can be overflowing with joy and confidence in God, because we know the way God has been with us and worked in our lives in the past, so we can face those things in the future. And the first is that we need to simply pay attention. We need to pay attention to the work that God is doing in our life. It's so easy for us, isn't it, to just kind of get in a routine. If we read our Bible, it's easy for us to become a routine thing that we do. We read it, we're faithful and we're diligent in that time, but we are just, our mind is kind of off somewhere else, thinking about our to-do list, thinking about the groceries we have to get when we go shopping, and that we're not actually paying attention. Or we can come to worship and we do it because that's just what we do on Sunday night at 6 o'clock, but we can allow ourselves to just kind of drift away and not quite be paying attention to it. See, this is the spiritual discipline of reflection, of setting aside time in our lives. And I know we are busy, and I know this can be hard, but it has such fruit for us that if we can set aside time to pay attention to God, to pay attention to the work that God is trying to do in our hearts as we come before Him in the Word and as we come before Him in worship, if we can pay attention to it, we can be aware of it. It will have exponential results in our life. Because when we are aware and we are paying attention to what God is doing, it allows us to live into it and allows us to walk in it. Allows us, if we are paying attention, it allows us to obey what God is doing. So if God is calling us to love our neighbor more deeply, to love the person that we just don't like because they're just so annoying, we're paying attention to the work that God is doing in our heart, then we can walk in trying to learn to love that person a little bit better. Or if God is calling us to be more missional in the way that we live, calling us to go across the street or go across the hallway at work to share the gospel of Jesus, we can walk in it because we're paying attention to it. See, this is a step of obedience, where we have noticed what God is calling us to do. We know the commands of God. We read them in Scripture, and then we walk in them. We live a lifestyle of obedience. And then third, we tell it. Like David proclaimed the glad deliverance of God in the great congregation, we tell and we talk of the work that God is doing in our life. And I think that this is the key. That the reason men like Paul and David could be so overflowing with joy and confidence in God is that they made it a habit to be talking about what God was doing in their life. I've got to be honest, it's a lot easier for me to talk about the weather or to talk about a sports team than it is to talk about the work that God is doing in my life. And I imagine that maybe you might be similar in that regard. That it's easier for us to talk about superficial things. Talking about what we did during the day, or talking about how we feel, or talking about how tired we are, or how busy we are. And we never allow ourselves to get to a deeper level of conversation where we begin to talk about the work that God is doing in our hearts. About the way God has blessed us, the way that God has challenged us, and the way that God has called us to move forward. And I don't always do a good job of this because it can be a little bit uncomfortable to have these kind of conversations because it's not normal. Like, it's not normal for us to talk about those deep personal things about what's going on in our heart. But I think as Christian brothers and sisters, as a family who has been crafted together by God, it's so important that we can talk with one another about the work that God is doing in our lives. So many of us try to go through our spiritual lives alone. And we face temptations and we face struggles and we face challenges in our walk with God. And we think that if I just grit my teeth hard enough, I can do it by myself. When the way God has designed this faith, He has designed it as something that we do together. And part of the way we can do it together is by communicating with one another those deeper things in our lives. We live in a culture where we try to make religion and try to make faith a private thing. We say, you can believe whatever you want, just make it private. Make it something you do in your own life and your own home. But the faith that we have been called into is a communal faith, the faith of sharing with one another, where we can have these conversations about the work of God and the work of the Spirit in our life. So I want us to give a kind of a couple ways we can maybe be better at having these conversations and simply ask the question, what is God doing in your life? Which is kind of a broad, generic thing, I know. It's kind of a catch-all category to ask someone, so what is God doing in your life? This isn't necessarily a conversation that we can have just real quick in the lobby, but this is a conversation that happens often when we are meeting together and we are spending time together over food or over scripture, spending time in one another's homes. It can happen in the lobby, yes, but this is a deeper conversation. What is God doing in your life? And you can ask it like this. How has God been drawing you closer to Him? In worship, this is stirring our affections to God. Or we can ask, how has God been working to create more holiness in you? What sin is God working on in your life? How is God helping you to become more holy as you put to death sin in your life? As you respond to temptation, not by running into the sin, but by running to God. We're asking, how is God equipping you to love Him more? What are you learning? What are you getting better at? So that you can love Him more? Or how is God calling or drawing you to love others more? This is the question where we ask, okay, so what are you doing? Like, what does God want you to do next? That next step in the process? Who is the person in your life that you are holding a grudge against? Or who is the person in your life who needs Jesus that you need to share Jesus with? We ask these questions to one another to help us in it. Or we could ask, how has God been sending you on mission? What are ways that God is sending you to places where you wouldn't normally go, but God is calling you to go there so you can be a witness of the gospel of Jesus? This is just kind of a small picture of the way these conversations can happen. But I think that as we have these conversations together, as we allow ourselves to get to this deeper level of conversation, that it can not only make us more aware of the work that God is doing in our life, but it can give us more joy in that work. Because I think that we are most aware of what God is doing when we are able to talk about it with one another. And kind of connected with that, we are most joyful about what God is doing in us when we tell others about it. When we don't keep it to ourselves, but we share the work that God is doing in our life. And fourth, we wait for it. Because for some of us, it seems like God's not really doing anything. That we do the things we're supposed to do. We read our Bibles, we pray, we talk with people about Jesus, we are at worship every time we can be at worship, and we are living a lifestyle of worship, but it just doesn't feel like God's doing anything. See, for us, time waiting often feels like time wasted. But in the way that God works, time waiting is oftentimes when God is working behind the scenes to do something in us that is beyond what we can ever imagine. And so we wait for it. We wait patiently for God to respond to our faith, to respond to our obedience. It's not an idle waiting. It's not a sitting around tweedling or whatever that word is. I'm spinning our thumbs back and forth. Someone can tell me what that word's supposed to be later. But it's not an idle waiting, but it is a passionate act of waiting where we keep doing the steps of obedience God has called us to, knowing that as we obey, as we step out in faith, as we step out onto the water, God will respond to us. And lastly, we enter it. we enter the work of God, because for some of us, we have never done it. We are trying to go through life on our own. We have never allowed God to do a work in us because we have never confessed Jesus as Lord over our life and as Lord over creation. We have never turned from our sins and we've never been baptized. That's when it starts. That's when God's Spirit is given to us as a gift and when God's Spirit begins to work in our lives. And for some of us, we've never made that call. And so we are invited tonight to enter the work of God, to be baptized. And for others of us, we have kind of walked away from it. We were baptized at one point. We were living lives of obedience at one point, but we've just kind of drifted. We don't really know why. We've just kind of gotten distracted by everything that's going on in life, and we've drifted away, so we can't even pay attention to the work that God is doing because we're not even living on that path. And you're ready to get on that path again tonight. And if that's where you are, we want you to do that. If you need to be baptized tonight, or if you need to get back on the path of God, or if you need just prayers for something you're struggling with, we want to pray with you. So tonight, if we can help you, please respond and let us know how we can.